Let's pray together, please. Heavenly Father, we believe that we are your children, and we believe that you desire to speak into our lives today. So, Lord, with open hearts, we come to you saying that we are ready, we are here to listen, and that we believe you desire to give us words of life. So would you increase, would we decrease, and would you make yourself known in this place and in our lives? We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So a little something I want to share with you guys about myself is I love to drive. Like, some people get really frustrated. Yeah, did I say that right this time? It's a constant joke with the youth that I say frustrated instead of frustrated. You may not have heard the difference, but trust me, they always hear it and make fun of me. But I love to drive. I don't get really frustrated by traffic. It doesn't bother me. And, you know, even though sometimes on road trips and regular drives, you know, maybe I get a little tired or exhausted, I really do like it. I would almost rather drive than fly. And I know that the road trip that I've taken most often in my life, and especially by myself, has been from Vienna, Virginia to Greensboro, North Carolina, where I went to college. And I would see certain sites and pieces along the way that I would always mentally check off in my drive. So the first one right here is, this is Madison County High School in Madison County, just south here on Highway 29. And I don't know why I would just pick out these random things that I would see. It's like, oh, you know, I know it's about, you know, 4 hours away from here, you know, or something along those lines. So Madison County High School, right there on Highway 29 is one I would see. Don't ask me why. This is a Sheetz gas station. I probably passed 30 Sheetz gas stations, but this one was always easy for me to pick out because it was on the south side of Lynchburg, Travis, before you would get to Liberty University. It's a place that I would, you know, if I had to stop, which I never wanted to stop. If you're with me, guys, you just want to get it over with, right? Even though I don't mind it, that's where I would make my pit stop there. The next one, if you can read that sign, it says Tank Museum. This is as you approach Danville, Virginia, all the way before you get to the North Carolina state line. And ask me, how many times did I go to the Tank Museum? Go ahead, ask me. Zero. Okay, zero, but I always wanted to go to the Tank Museum because what guy doesn't want to go climb around on a tank? I've been dreaming about it. I messed it up. I've never done it, but there's this inner 8-year-old crying within me, drive down there and go see the Tank Museum. Amy, next road trip, buckle up. We're going. Okay? And then here is my destination, Guilford College. When I saw the sign, I knew I was at my home away from home. This is where I went, and actually three of my sisters went before me, a great place. And I've told you guys before that Guilford College, home of the Fighting Quakers, there is the proof. That is one angry Quaker. Fear me, I am a pacifist, okay? Fear me. I'm very bitter about being incredibly misshapen and awkward. People mischaracterizing me as the Quaker Oats guy. That's not me. I'm a fighting Quaker. Okay, the truth of the matter is we're just Quakers, and it's just at least funny to make them fighting because it doesn't make any sense. We'll leave that right there at the moment. But what am I talking about here and these things that we would remember on a journey and as we walk around in life? Well, it's this. We all have moments in our lives that we remember. These markers that help us remember and recall different things. Things that, there are also things that we wished we remembered more often than we do. And I think especially when it comes to our relationship with Jesus Christ, what he's revealed himself to be in our lives. I think that's what we wish we remembered most. I can tell you I have a lot of memories from that drive. Sometimes there are certain spots I was like, oh yeah, I remember that when that police officer was hiding there, and then he wasn't hiding because he was in my rearview mirror. And thank God he got the guy in front of me, right? Okay, I'm glad you all believe that. So I promise I didn't lie, totally. They're both sides of the story. But this theme of having markers in our lives is actually common in out Scripture. And so if you want to flip with me, you can look, but it's going to be up here on the screens, and we're going to be kind of flying through some stuff today. 1 Samuel chapter 7. And verses 10 and 12, here it is. While Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, Philistines drew near to engage Israel in battle. But that day, the Lord thundered out thunder against the Philistines and threw them into such a panic that they were routed before the Israelites. Okay, the Lord came in. Big time intervention. The Israelites were in the middle of doing some sacrifice. God threw the Philistines in a panic. And then the men of Israel rushed out to Mizpah, pursued the Philistines, slaughtering them along the way to a point below Beth Kar. All right, Israel wins. Yay. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen. He called it Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." So he set up this marker, this remembrance of what God had done in that moment for them, right? And he built this Ebenezer, which really, it translates to stone of help, right? But it was meant as a reminder and a marker for what God had done in that time and place for them. They didn't want to forget who God had revealed himself to be and what he had done. So as the Holy Spirit says, today, well, no, that's the next verse. I thought we had a blank slide there, sorry. So lest we forget that God is active in our lives today and he is still doing things, I want to invite a few seniors up here that I've spoken to before. Savannah, Kendra, Nico, if you guys come on up. And we're actually just going to be reminded real quick of what God has been doing amongst us, and particularly because it is Youth Sunday, we want to hear from important people like you, and you guys are very important. So I've asked them a question ahead of time. We cheat a little bit. You can slide over. Make room. You can be nice to Nico. It's okay. We want to hear, what is something that God has done in your all's life? Well, especially in your time at Cedar Run, that it's been significant for you that you recall of.
When you asked this question, I was having a lot of difficulty choosing what I wanted to say about Cedar Run. It's been so awesome to be involved with Cedar Run. I think it's just a great church that really takes the initiative to reach out to the community, and it really gets involved with Young Life, Wildlife, Capernaum, and Little Woman, and I've had the privilege to be a part of all of that. But I wanted to talk a little about the youth group, and specifically Nuggets, which was the small group for the girls. And it's called Nuggets because one of the leaders, Kim Pasca, taught all these, I think it was kindergartners, I'm not actually positive, but she called them her little nuggets. And then we thought that was funny, so then we called ourselves the Nuggets, and we'd be like the Nug Life, and it was really weird. But so especially my sophomore year, we just had a ton of awesome seniors who are here, and they would always go to the Nuggets, and that really encouraged me to go out to the Nuggets small group. And I think it was kind of a mile marker in a way, because it taught me to let others help me in my faith, because I often didn't want to like share about my life and my testimony, but they let me help me put my guard down and just let them help me walk through my faith. And they taught me a lot about loving like Jesus and what it means to be a Christian. And that was not only the seniors, but also Kim and Sarah who did that. And that was just so great. And it reminded me of a verse, and I might mess it up. It's Proverbs. I think it's 27:17. It's just as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. And it just really taught me about fellowship and had a big impact in my life.
Thank you, Savannah. Mm-hmm. Kendra?
Okay, so, sorry. Something that's had a really big impact on me, it's honestly just coming to this church and being part of the youth ministry, just because I come from a very non-religious family. And so, like, when I was younger, I wasn't really exposed to God. And so I knew that there was a God, and I knew that I wanted to know more about this God, but I had never really been challenged before. So honestly, just coming here in, I think, middle school, it was nice to actually start learning, and I was challenged, and then you guys really cared that I had my questions answered, that I was actually growing in my faith, which had basically been non-existent. So, of course, that's had a really big impact on me, because my relationship has really grown, because it took off from there, so.
Thanks, Kendra. Nico?
Hey, Tommy.
Hi, Nico. Love you, buddy.
For me, it was definitely a big milestone in my life for Cedar Run was definitely the missions trip we took to Gary, West Virginia, where I met amazing people, Travis, I met Kyle, and I met Buche, and those people were just a real big impact on my life. What it taught me also was that faith can be so strong, where places like Gary, where, you know, it's the poorest of the poor, people are on welfare, and it's not, you know, anywhere like this. It teaches you that faith is strong and that God is everywhere. And that is a big impact on my life, because moving on now, going to college is a big part, you know, moving away from home. You have to be able to have your faith, and that's very important, I think.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. That's something for all of us to celebrate as a group. That's not just for them to celebrate. And that's a truth that they've learned that wasn't just for a moment, but something for the rest of their lives that lives on today. You know, they have an Ebenezer, you know, a stone of help that's within their heart. That's not a stone, because we're going to get into that a little bit more in terms of our heart. But what does this passage in Hebrews, and what we read in or what we're going to read in Hebrews, verses 3, 7 through 5. So, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me and for 40 years saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation, and I said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly till the end the confidence we had at first. And has just been said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. So this passage is actually connected a little bit to what we were talking about in a passage there. But this passage also tells us a few important things that are going to connect us back and to what it means to have these mile markers and hold them onto them in our lives. The first thing that's telling us is that God speaks to us. It says, today, if you hear from the Lord, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. The idea is that God is wanting and desiring to interact with you. That should be something that should catch our eyes. That should something catch our ears. That should hopefully at least have a little bit of a spark in our heart that God is interested in what's happening in you in your daily life. And he wants to be involved in it. So that's the first thing. And it says that we should not be weary and not harden our hearts, right? So, and if actually, a good portion of this passage is referencing Psalm 95. And it talks about two instances in Israel with Moses. And we're not going to go there today, but it's in Exodus 17 and Numbers 20, if you're curious about it. And it's when Israel was roaming in the desert after their exodus from Egypt. And what happens is they're really thirsty. I mean, really thirsty. They're worried about all their livestock going to die, and they're just incredibly parched. And they want something. And so in the first instance, God instructs Moses as Moses seeks the Lord, and God tells him, hey, strike this rock with your staff, and water will flow out in abundance for all the people. And they'll have enough to drink themselves for the livestock. And it happens. But during that time, it's clear that the rest of Israel is just moaning and whining the whole time, you know, and they've forgotten all the things that God has done in rescuing them and getting out of Egypt with the plagues that he used to set them free, you know, how he protected them as they were being pursued by Pharaoh and his army. They had forgotten all this stuff, and there are even worse things that happened, you know, throughout that whole journey. But the second time it happens, they're thirsty again. And what happens in this instance is Moses again seeks the face of the Lord, and the Lord speaks to him. But the Lord says, talk to the rock this time. He doesn't tell him to strike it. He just says, talk to it, and water will come out. And so what does Moses do? He doesn't talk to it at all. He strikes it twice with his staff, And water does end up coming out, and they are able to get what they wanted. But the people were grumbling, they were angry, and it really, other than just quenching the physical thirst, they totally miss an aspect of what God was doing for them and where this gift came from. And God was upset with Moses, too, over what happened, and there were consequences for Moses. But this attitude of Israel and even Moses, in part during the second instance, God is referring to as this hard-heartedness and not acknowledging and receiving a gift that has come from God as God has spoken to them. And so what does it really mean for you and I to be hard-hearted? Well, think of it like this. Literally imagine with me in your minds your heart being a solid piece of rock. You know, if you want, think of it as, if I recall correctly, it was an igneous rock, which is the lava, you know, rock. It's very hard, very sharp. You don't really want to touch it. Cuts easily. It might not be igneous. I can't remember eighth grade biology very well. Earth science, all of that. But imagine that rock, and that's your heart. It's not easily moved. It's callous. It's not often anything that can really penetrate it. That's what it means to be hard-hearted. So in that sense, you're not sensitive to what the Lord has for you, what the Lord is saying to you. It's difficult to penetrate. There's something alive in there, but it's buried beneath it. Well, I think instead, the opposite of that, in my mind, and use your imagination with me here, okay? I kind of like to do pictures. Think of a feather. What are some aspects of a feather? I know we've all had a feather, and we rubbed it against our cheek. How soft is that? You know, and a feather is something that is blown easily by the wind. It can be moved easily by the Spirit of God. It goes where it leads it. You know, it's delicate. It's tender. To me, in my mind, that can be an opposite of what it means to be hard-hearted. And that's what we desire our hearts to be like. But how do we get there? What does that mean? Because the reality of all of this is, in today's culture, we're always wanting a new experience. We're always forgetting what, happened yesterday. You know, and yesterday wasn't enough. And honestly, if we can even remember what happened yesterday or 5 minutes ago, the way we're always jumping from one bit of technology to another, which, by the way, I'm totally guilty. Ask my wife. She hates it when, you know, we're watching a movie and I pull out my phone to play a game or something. She's like, hey, we're here hanging out. I'm sorry, I like Instagram a lot. And for those of you who don't know, that's really popular. parents. Instagram's pretty big. Some of you are on it. We struggle to remember. You know, and if you're anything like my parents, you know, they say that they haven't forgotten anything yet, but that's only as far as they can remember. Sorry, Mom, Dad. If that's the story for them, I'm in deep trouble as my life goes on, because I probably won't remember anything 5 minutes from now. But how can we, in this age where we move from one thing to the next, where we're so quickly transitioning that we struggle to recall what God has done for us just a moment ago, because we're so focused on the next task, the next piece of drama in our lives? Well, how can we recall what God has done and stay away from hard-heartedness? Well, I think there are a few things that are along this passage and just around this passage that we're going to look at. Hebrews 3:1. Therefore, holy brothers, who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest, whom we confess. Right? So that first aspect tells us something really critical. Because I think in our lives today, we begin with this precedent of me and what I have to get done today. Can any of you relate with that when you wake up in the morning? Holy cow, I have a busy day. I have to make my kids lunch. I have, you know, work to go to. I have to drive them to soccer in the afternoon. By the way, I should probably figure out what we're going to do for dinner so we don't order pizza again and, you know, don't turn my kids into lumps. Oh, yeah, I should probably try to have some quality time with my spouse. If you're a student, oh, my gosh, 6 o'clock, is that what time I'm waking up for school? Oh, that is disgusting. There's no light during that time of day. By the way, I have to go to school for 7 hours. And then I'm going to have club after that. And then I have sports practice. Oh, and then I have a music practice after that. Oh, and then I have 11 hours of homework, which, by the way, it takes me into the next school day already. I'm never going to get anything done. I'm going crazy out here. Me. But that's not what this verse says to do. The first thing that it says is fix your thoughts on Jesus. Our first thought should be on Jesus Christ, not the task before us, not the things that we have to do. So what I would suggest in that moment, and a way you can practically do that, is invite Jesus into what's going on in your life. He wants to be a part of it. Every aspect, literally just say, Lord, I'm struggling to make you a priority, but would you come in and be a part of this process with me? You know, would you be with me as I do my homework? You know, would you help me focus on you as I drive to school this day? Would you teach me how to love my teammates at practice? Would you teach me how to love my coworkers and make a priority for my spouse? Would that be my priority throughout the day? Would you tell me how to love you and love others? Invite God in. I think another part of this is spoken to us in Hebrews 3:13 that will help us. But encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. You know, I know for me that when I get down, I get isolated, right? And when I get isolated, I focus on negative. I don't know about the rest of you, but my thoughts are like, oh, crud, I've got to fix this problem, right? And I feel like it's all on me. I feel a weight. I feel a burden. And I don't think that's any way that God intended us to live. God created you and I to live in relationship with one another. We weren't meant to walk through this life alone. And that doesn't mean just, you know, an aspect of together. It means with God. So it's an aspect of loving God and loving others. So we're making a focus on loving God in the first thing, and now we love one another well. And what we want to do in these moments is we want to celebrate with each other, especially those that we're close with. What do we want to celebrate? Celebrate the mile markers that what God has done in your life. Can you not think of one? I guarantee you your family members and close friends can. They can remind you of things that God has done. And that is good and that is important. We shouldn't stop celebrating those. That doesn't mean that we're always going back to a well in an aspect, you know, or living forever in that moment, but it should be a source of encouragement, and here's why. In those moments, Jesus Christ has revealed himself to you. He has revealed himself to us. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He doesn't change. If God has reminded you of how deep his love is, man, focus on that. Celebrate that. And what greater way to celebrate that than what Jesus Christ has done on the cross? That while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That God of the universe, while we were still sinners, would come and die for the ungodly. The perfect one would take on the imperfect's faults upon himself. Take that burden upon a cross to be crucified, to be put to death, to experience what we deserve, yet to conquer it through resurrection that we could have joy and celebrate in his sufferings and in his hope and victory over death, that we too might one day be reunited with God. What is not worth celebrating in that? Do you believe that? Do you remember what God has done for you? I can tell you, I can remember, and I was telling people 2 weeks ago about remembering when I decided, and I remember I first understood that Jesus Christ loved me, and that made a difference for me. It was in the spring of 1997. I was at Truro Church I grew up in the basement down in the children's chapel. And by the way, I still get encouraged and touched by that. That's the Spirit of God doing that. Remember that in your own life. Share that story with one another. Celebrate it together, because what was true then is true today. Celebrate it. Those are Ebenezers in your life. Those are things that you can do. Hold on to those. Don't forget them. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." I think when I have things that are going on in my life, whatever the moment may be, I try to figure it out myself. As similar to the first thing, But we need to go in prayer to God, as I was talking about and laying it before. But we need to listen to God. And I can tell you one of the primary ways that the Lord will speak to you is through His Word. And one passage will mean one thing one day and another the next. God, His Word does not return void. And the thing that is about this that will help us with hard-heartedness is that if we listen to it and we obey it. Because Israelites, their hard-heartedness and their the anger of the Lord came to them because they weren't obedient. They didn't acknowledge all that God has done. And if they did, they were quick to forget it. Let's not be like them. Because when we listen to God and we obey Him, our hearts are softened. That rock of a heart begins to get cracked. That tender flesh, you know, that will become like a feather going where the Lord leads is revealed. And we'll be more obedient to God. Obedience breeds obedience. But we need to know it through God's Word. It's essential. You can't ignore it. Make it a regular part of your life. I'm not going to tell you, I can tell you I would encourage you to do it every day, but I'm not going to guilt trip you if it doesn't. Be in God's Word regularly. He'll speak to you and encourage you in it. And your heart will begin to soften and not be hard. But I think there maybe is a first thought. And again, I tend to be a kind of a visual person. You know, and the story in the Old Testament in Exodus and Numbers, it began with them being thirsty. They wanted some moisture, so to speak. And I'm silly. I was searching for some images the other day, and I saw something, and I thought of moisture. And I was like, we don't want that kind of moisture, okay? We do not want to be like, maybe I am right now, I don't know. But we don't want to be like that, okay? That's not the moisture we're looking for. I don't think the Lord wants us sweating it out. He wants us to be at peace. Okay, real moisture. Think about this. Think of what it is like to be thirsty. I think we all have had a moment in our lives, maybe mine hasn't happened recently, you know, where you've had a good workout and you really wanted some water. Never, actually, I can say yesterday, this is true. Yesterday, my sister-in-law and her husband are in town, and my wife and I, we went hiking on the Billy Goat Trail. First time I'd been there in a couple years, and you guys know, it was stinking hot yesterday. It was nasty. And never has something without any flavor tasted so good when I had some water. When we got back to the car and we had some bottles of water that were cold, I was like, oh, sweet Jesus, that is good stuff, right? Just water. But this is kind of how you felt. Yay, water. Or maybe some of you. But I think actually that's not the kind of the picture that it comes to my mind. I think maybe an attitude that we would want to have in our hearts to begin with that the Lord would be pleased with is something like this. It's a kid enjoying a big gulp of water. Think how much fun that kid is receiving from what the Lord has for them. That's the attitude that God wants. We're celebrating Youth Sunday. Well, don't forget how dear and precious children are to the Lord. By the way, it's okay for you to be like a kid with Jesus. That's a good thing. Be excited about what God has for you and what great, delicious, flavorless, okay, really important, life-giving water He has. Right? You see, here's something. Each day the Lord will provide for us. We don't have to store up treasures. God will give us anew. He will meet you in a new way each and every day. He will continue to teach a theme to you. He will bring something for you in that moment for things that are coming before you that are not you don't even know are there yet. You know, but here are a couple of verses maybe that hit this home. John 14:10. This is Jesus. Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is in the Father living in me who is doing His work. John 7:37-38. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." Jesus is describing the Holy Spirit. God has given you a gift. He has marked you with Himself as His own. He's kind of, you know, branded you with the Holy Spirit. but it's also an empowerment. It's an empowerment and a reminder of who Jesus Christ is and the life that he gives you. By the way, you're not beyond any hard-heartedness if you're that person today, because you know why? If you have made a decision to believe in Jesus Christ, you have every bit of power that is needed in your life to have a soft and tender heart and someone that is obedient to God and impact your life and all of those around you. And if you have not made a decision to follow Jesus Christ and you decide to follow him, God can crack the hardest stone. And he can make it soft again where you can know him. But I want to save the best for last. I think this is maybe the best image for us to have. You and I are but beggars before the Lord. This is just a child in a poor country who's been given the gift of a clean well to get water from. You see, it's one thing to have fun with it when you're a kid and be like a Lord, but know that there is no other hope out of Jesus Christ. He is the only hope for us each and every day in our hard-heartedness. And let us be like a kid. Let us celebrate fresh and anew. Let's celebrate what the Lord has done yesterday and the mile markers in our lives. Let us celebrate those together. And let us drink fresh and anew every day. It's not a formula that we repeat. That fresh and newness comes every day from being with Jesus Christ. I believe that that's where we'll find the best life. I believe that's how he wants us to live. Father, soften our hearts. Lord, if we've forgotten ways that you have done things for us, remind us, bring joy, renew us, restore us. Or would we be people that would put you first, that we would lay every instance of our lives before you? Would we be people that celebrate and live together, and we would be people that are guided by your word? And would we all be children receiving the great gift of living water that you give us through your Son, Jesus Christ?